Several months ago, Pat Fisher came up to me. And when she came up to me, she wanted to have a meeting. So we had a meeting. And I'm wondering, what's the big deal? I mean, she seems pretty fired up. Did Michael do something? That's what I thought. So I get a chance to meet with Pat Fisher. And she's emphatic and she says, Pastor Mike, there's a ministry out there. Harvest Home Ministries, Harvest Supply Company. I didn't know, I couldn't remember what it was. But she was so impassioned by the ministry and the effect that it had, primarily on women. And she begins to tell me about it. She says, is there a way we can support them, help them, do whatever? I said, I don't know. Nobody's given anymore. It's hard to do this stuff. By the way, we're going to take an offering at the end of the service here, just so you know. Justin will come up and tell you exactly where to put it. If the account seems strange, it's probably his own. Make sure you're giving to the church and not to Justin. So I meet with Pat, and she's telling me all this stuff, and I'm convinced that she knows what she's talking about, and she's excited about this ministry. And she is emphatic that she wants us to be a part of it. So, okay, I speak with the elders, and I tell them about it, and they say, well, let's have her come in. And I said, what? You guys never agree to anything right away. You guys think for eons before we get to the, and then, no, bring them on in. Let's hear what they have to say. So this precious lady over here, to my right, your left, came and we met. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, she's different. Look at her hair. She is different. Oh, but she is wonderfully different because she has a heart as big as she is for the things that God wants to do in the lives of women. And I listened to her and I said, wow, this is pretty good. But here's the deal. I got to take this back to our elders. And I don't want to throw any elders under the bus, but it's Mike Waldrop, it's Craig O'Connor, and it's John Holzer. Yeah. That's it. And she came with several of the girls that she works for and with and for, I should say. And it was powerful. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what are these guys thinking? What are these guys thinking? And what they said was, everything she said began and ended with Jesus. Amen. It was almost like enough said. And that's what they got from you. So Sarah, I would like you to come up and tell us who you are, what's your ministry, and what you're all about. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to take from them. We're going to take from their pockets, their pocketbooks. We're going to get into their bank accounts, and we're going to do all that. We're going to do some of that. And we're going to support this ministry. So be prepared to do that at the end, and I'll give you information for that when we're done. Sarah, it's all yours.
I'm not going to stay up too long. I'm going to talk a lot more at the end. But I just wanted to say I am so happy to be here with you all. I'm so thankful. And I will get back with you in a few minutes.
Hi, my name is Danielle. I'm going to be sharing a little bit of my testimony with you guys and just glorifying the Lord and all the good works he's done through Harvest Home and my life. So my name is Danielle. I was born here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. My parents were married until I was in seventh grade. This was a turning point where CPS stepped in and removed my sister and I from the household of abuse. To me, this was normal. It was love. But raised in this kind of environment, I often felt fear, shame, loss of identity, very lonely, and the need to please others for my own validation and my own self-worth. It's where I developed this attraction to abusive, codependent relationships as I progressed through life. I partied a lot as a teenager to numb my pain. Alcohol was my gateway to friendships and even a committed relationship. I was able to enjoy myself and let loose like what everyone else seemed to do so effortlessly. After a brutal heartbreak with the guy, my world shattered, and this great despair led me to my first attempt at suicide at age 18. At 19, I met my daughter's dad, who I knew right away was trouble, but heartbroken and seeking a good time, and his eyes locked on me, I was swept away with all the deceit. At 20, I had my gorgeous daughter, Lexi, and just like that, as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I was a prisoner to abuse of every sort, mental, physical, sexual, financial, and even spiritual. It didn't matter how far I ran or hid in chains I was in. A little after Lexi, my daughter, turned 3, our lives were over as we knew it. And after witnessing the rape of my innocent daughter, hell on earth is what I knew we were in. This relationship led me to drug felonies and even dabbling in heroin usage myself to make it through to another day until they locked him away. After becoming someone I was scared of, I sought medical help for answers, but their solution was just more drugs. But I was so desperate to break free, and I was willing to do absolutely anything. This mentality led me down dark paths of exotic dancing and stripping. My thoughts, swallow your dignity, do what you need to do. A very dangerous man entered my life with threats, and out of the protection of my daughter's sake, I submitted to him, which led me to be sold across America. Only by the grace and the protection of our Lord and Savior. The third guy I was sold to was an undercover cop. And with tears running down his face and the words, "Please see, I'm trying to help you," he arrested me. Mind you, I was in Nebraska, where prostitution at the time was only a $248 ticket. But it was placed on that officer's heart to take it to the feds. And a couple of weeks later, the man and his friends were arrested and eventually pled guilty to federal human trafficking. Eventually, unresolved buildup of trauma and no way to escape from the pain led me into another addiction. What started off as painkillers eventually turned to fentanyl. Again, I was a prisoner. In April 2024, CPS took my daughter out of my care due to my drug usage and the abusive relationship I was in. I quit fentanyl, I reported the man, and I was determined to clean up the mess I was in and get my baby back. I tried all the outpatient treatments, feeling more lost than before. Defeated and a failure. I was so hopeless. I started to use air duster as a way to get high and to escape. Knowing what I know now, it was the devil saying, "This is no big deal. You'll feel better. It's not an addiction. It's not even illegal." Well, I ended up going to jail multiple times, but I didn't think it was a big crime they could pursue until that jail door locked and I lost all that I had. But worst, when reality hit, it was my baby girl that I hurt. I fell to my knees and I cried out to God, "I am done. Do with me as you will. I give you my life." Every day after that, I read my Bible, and a month and a half later, Harvest Home was presented to me as an option. I learned it was a 6-month to a year program, and I cried out to this Lord. I cried out to the Lord, "How can this be your plan for me?" But God revealed to me that I tried everything, and I must be replanted, firmly rooted in the truth. I wiped my tears, and I accepted his plan for me. Today, I stand in front of all of you by the grace of God and his work through Harvest Home, a transformed, firmly rooted, in the truth woman of God. In the time of... Thank you. Thank you. In my time of being here at Harvest Home, I've been able to identify fears, traumas, and wrong beliefs. They give us the gift of time, where we are able to focus on our healing and addressing root issues while building that lasting foundation. In this time, we are blessed to have all of our needs met and presented with a new way of life. Learning how to be a good steward of time, financial budgeting, conflict resolution, serving the community, and growing in discipleship. I came in broken, shattered into a billion pieces, and I am a testimony to confidently say that I am released from that bondage of darkness. Hallelujah. Having the trusted leadership who accepts, encourages, motivates, and lives the example of picking up their cross daily has truly inspired me to accept my internship as communications, relations, and staff engagement here at Frontline Harvest Ministry shortly after my graduation this February. I have been at Harvest Home now for 15 months. I've been working full-time at Bellin Health as an environmental service specialist. I've been continuing my education for work and received my CHESS certificate. I am currently enrolled in UWGB for fundraising management to be more effective for my internship role at Harvest Home. But most importantly, I have a forever family in Christ. And I also attend Christ the Rock Church, where both my mom and dad are next to me side by side every Sunday. And our relationships are being restored and have godly virtues and boundaries. I am currently rekindling the bond and trust with my daughter, stronger and more beautiful than ever. And I am a witness to see all that Abba heals and grows within me flood through my daughter, like, almost immediately. It is the most beautiful thing ever. So the scripture that I live by and is written so deeply on my heart is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle Lee. Can we just give another hand for our Lord and Savior and just know that God is real? I just want to also thank the Living Hope Church for giving me an opportunity to show you guys God's evidence and how real he is, how powerful he is, and just a testimony of my story. Hi, my name is Trinity Shipman. I'm 22 years old. I was born here in Green Bay, but I was raised in Memphis, Tennessee. If we got any Southerners in here. I'm Black and Dominican descent, raised by my mom, with my dad being in prison most of my life. And I grew up in a dysfunctional household by a single mother that dwelt with lots of trauma and battling her addictions herself. At an early age, I've witnessed a lot and I've experienced sexual assault, suicide, ideation from the trauma. And I was in a mental institution at the age of 14 because I tried to commit suicide. This carried on into my later teen years, being in an abusive relationship with a guy who also sexually abused me, and he ended up eventually dying. That left me lost and hopeless, not knowing what to do with this pain. I ended up becoming addicted at the age of 17 to amphetamines, methamphetamines, and fentanyl. I became a stripper at 18 to support my drug habits, stability, which led me to make more bad decisions, guilt, neglect, and shame. I didn't even graduate high school, and I was living in survival mode, always having to watch over my shoulders. While in darkness, I came across Sarah Christensen and Crystal. They were evangelizing on the street that I was walking on and prayed with me. A couple years down the line, I finally went to jail for my actions and ended up getting accepted into a young adult treatment court that they give you in jail. Before I can get out of jail, I needed to have housing, and I prayed to God and was led to the Harvest Home. After applying, Sarah Christensen interviewed me and shared the gospel. And that same night, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, November 8th, 2023. And the crazy thing is, me and Sarah didn't even know we met before until I graduated the program through a Facebook picture. At 20 years old, I moved into the Harvest Home, and I entered the Recovery Discipleship Program. While being at the Harvest Home, I've experienced godly fellowship, structure, accountability, safety, and support. I was a part of groups that helped me understand trauma and the root of my addictions. I had biblical counseling with Sarah Christensen weekly that allowed me to process emotions and work through triggers, addressing my trauma and addiction that helped me find healing through the Word of God. I went through classes that taught life skills, conflict resolution, budgeting, etc., anything you can name it. I feel the leadership at Harvest Home is outstanding and very fruitful. They really help us achieve our goals and want us to succeed and help us trust again. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And free I am indeed. Amen. I was able to obtain my license, complete my intensive outpatient treatment program through Young Adult Court. I achieved getting my HSED, and also speaking at outreaches in the community with Frontline and Leader Worship. I graduated Harvest Home June 24, 2024, and I have a full-time job. I have a car, my own apartment, and still maintain my sobriety. I led my sister to Christ, amen. God has reconciled me and my dad's relationship, sharing my faith with him. Me and my mom are slowly rebuilding our relationship, but most importantly, my relationship with Christ still remains. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. Psalms 46:5 says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Right. Thank you.
My name is Tanisha. Thank you for having us today. Now praise the Lord, because he is good. So this is my testimony. The Greek word trauma translates to wound and can refer to deeply distressing experiences that impact mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being after stemming from violence, loss, or other overwhelming events, leaving lasting effects. My life was filled with hurt and pain, but I have to say I wouldn't change a thing, the beautiful chaos. It crept in on my family like a thief in the night. I was 1 year old, lost a brother, lost a baby brother, a great-grandmother, a father who abandoned us, this turning my alcoholic mother. 4 years gone by, a man far from a gentleman was trusted in our home, the devil on a mission to disrupt my soul. Being sexually abused, slowly day by day, year by year, stealing my innocence away. There's no justice or closure. Years gone by, I'm 13, trying to find myself, filling the void with drugs, alcohol, a cry for help, AODA, mental health, you name it, going the lengths just to have a temporary fix. Turning 18, I was stabbed multiple times after a fight broke out. I thought I was dead. Waking up in the hospital, remembering feeling empty, numb, confused on why my best friend would betray me like this. My mom was very concerned, but still didn't understand. I may have been healed of my injuries, but how deep and bottomless the wounds were within. Not after long, I met someone I thought would have made me feel safe, being warned many times of his dishonest ways. I was financially, mentally, and sadly physically abused. Not knowing my worth, this is what I thought I deserved. At 23, my mother cried to me asking for forgiveness for the tragic events that happened in my time. All the years, my mother was crippled from the inside, watching her daughter repeat the same life. The anguish I seen in her eyes, the burden she carried, the devil's lies. She was talking to me about Jesus and how she could be forgiven. Me not understanding or have the words to express how much the Lord loves her. I didn't know him, let alone myself. A week after that unfilled conversation, I found my mother. Seeing the life gone from her, she committed suicide. This disturbed me for years. How does one erase these images from their mind? The torment, the sorrow, the suffering from PTSD. I decided to drown myself in drugs. Maybe forgetting would save me. Thinking it's the only way to go the same. So sin after sin and pain after pain, I was trapped in the devil's maze. Trying to find a way free, escaping my children's father, leading me to homelessness and my children taken from me through CPS. And my youngest was placed for adoption. The feeling of having nothing left in me, my children were my everything. Going further astray, where is my identity? Depleting, weakening, descending in many ways. Traveling to run away, trafficking drugs, having money, materialistic things, had a house. But how can that rescue me? How can it be a home? I was left alone, digging a deeper grave. I started injecting meth, becoming an IV user. I lost everything. Eagerly searching and determined to understand life, I gave myself over to man-made traditions, witchcraft, Buddhism, polytheistic ways, left unanswered and still unsafe. So the streets is where I reverted back to. Trauma that would haunt me, running from an evil spirit that would taunt me, knowing my death was near, to nearly killed of my destructiveness, I decided to protect myself, thinking a firearm would save me from the streets or from the enemy's treacherous schemes. Being deceived and in pain is quite the mixture. It is where I find myself face to face with my affliction. Every evil thought rushing through me, I pull out my weapon, Shots fired. I was triggered by a false deception. I could have killed this person or many others. Being chased by police the next day, I barricaded myself in a home. The SWAT police are banging at the door. Washington, come out with your hands up. It's over. I'm panicking, trying to hide the pain, masking, resisting the guilt, the shame, the wrath inside. Where to escape from my pride? God had other things in mind. He was the spirit chasing after my life, drawing me out of the darkness and bringing me into the light. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. The darkness and the light are the same. You watched me as I was formed in the utter seclusion, as I was woven in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. In Psalms 139, 7 to 15. His goodness was chasing after me, and he snatched me out of the chaos and kept me safe. I surrendered to the Lord and repented of my ways. 3 months of incarceration, I dedicated my time to him. Not only do I believe in Jesus, but I know him. He's been the advocate in my dreams, leading me out of the darkness of my sleep. And when he woke me up, I can see how he's always been with me. I was accepted into the Frontline Harvest Ministry Home, graduated October of 2023. Thank you. And since I've been there, it's the most I ever felt safe. I can say I wouldn't have gotten this far without God moving so powerfully through the Harvest Home. When I was there, I had a lot of trauma. I had really bad, like, anxiety attacks and just, like, flashes through my mind, you know, with losing my mom and just a lot of other trauma things, you know. And Sarah was, like, she does one-on-ones, like, biblical counseling. And I could tell you that's, like, the best I could ever ask for because I really dug deep into my triggers, my wounds, and the fear that was inside of me. And Sarah, Tay, and the other people who volunteered to do Bible studies really helped bring that out of me and helped me to feel safe for me to be healed through that, you know, through God's Holy Spirit. And it was a blessing. So the program really helps serve women with a high risk of relapse in need of high care. It's a very structured program. It helps stabilize us, the Bible studies, discipleship, biblical counseling, parenting groups, you name it, right? And they prepare us to be independent, to walk out our calling, which led me into becoming an intern at the Harvest Home. So I lead Bible studies. I advocate with the women. I'm a self-developing leader. I learn how to serve God. I learn how to utilize my gifts in service, where it's not about me, it's all about Jesus. I just want to share Matthew 6:33, where he says, "But first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." They really teach us how to really seek after righteousness and to be cleansed and sanctified and pruned, and also not just do that, but to serve him. And it really shows, because these past 2 years that I've been there, you know, I've gotten a car, and I learned to serve with that. You know, I worked two jobs, and I work at, I never really worked a job before, so it was all new to me, you know. So I was working at Dirt Juicery for a year, and then from there, God opened up the door for me to work at Schneider Truck Driving, so I'm a recruiting specialist over there, which is a blessing, and yeah, thank you. So, you know, that happening is such a blessing, and it really shows us how to serve and not just take a blessing for myself, but to give back. And for these past 2 years, you know, I've been waiting on the Lord and waiting and waiting and asking the Lord, when can I, you know, have my children? When can I be a mother? And I kept pursuing him and seeking Bible studies, parenting groups, you know, just surrendering to God. It's very hard. But, you know, God opened up the door for me to move out, though, this coming week, actually. So I've got, yes, praise the Lord. It's been about 7 years since I've had my children in my care. Yeah, 7 years. So I've spent 2 years there dedicating my life to the Lord, and now he's opened up the door for me to be a mother for my children. And so I'm united with my relationships with them. So it's a blessing. And I just want to share a couple of scriptures. Deuteronomy 30, 2-3. "And when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. This verse really describes God's faithfulness in restoring his people after periods of exile and scattering due to disobedience, highlighting hope, repentance, and the transformation power of God's love, his mercy, his grace, and restoration. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. All things have passed away and all things become new. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Hi. I told you I was going to come back and I'm here. First of all, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Mike, the elders, and Pat for allowing me to be here today with you all and to share the things. It's truly a privilege and honor to be here with all of you at this church today. I just wanted to share some quick stats to kind of give an idea of what's going on. In 2024 alone, there were 277 signals leading to 111 confirmed cases and 181 victims of human trafficking in Wisconsin. Every county in Wisconsin has reported cases of sex trafficking and labor trafficking. This affirms its statewide issue, and it's not confined to specific areas. It happens in gas stations, hotels, all around us. Since 2007, the National Human Trafficking Hotline has recorded 1,117 human trafficking cases in Wisconsin and 2,212 victims. Let's just talk about addiction and drug use for a second. From 2000 to year 2023, opiate-related deaths rose dramatically from 111 to 1,415. In 2023, more than 90% of opiate overdose deaths involved synthetic opiates, mainly fentanyl. In 2022, 91% of opiate overdose deaths and 73% of all overdose deaths involve synthetic opiates, predominantly fentanyl. I just want to share how we are addressing this issue, because it is a big issue. This is going on all around us more than what we know, and maybe more than what we've been aware. Some of you probably know very well. Maybe you have family. Maybe it was you at one time. But this is something that continues to increase, and it is a huge problem that's going on, and the devil is using it to steal lives. Harvest Home is addressing this through a 6 to 12 month, as you've learned, discipleship recovery program. Harvest Home supports women survivors of human trafficking and addiction through a trauma-informed, holistic, and faith-based approach rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, helping women heal and achieve personal goals on their journey to restoration. In this community, we help by educating congregants and indicators on how to identify human trafficking. We collaborate even with organizations like Her Alliance, Daughters of Worth in North Carolina, Atlas Free, Rescue America. We also give education trainings through opiate crisis responses with Naxalon availability and usage. I just want to share a little quick scripture. In Luke 7, 41 through 47, Jesus talks about a story about two people who owed debts. One owed much and the other a little. And when neither could pay, the debt was forgiven. Jesus asked a question. He said, which one of them will love more? The answer is clear. The one that was forgiven much. And at Harvest Home, we see this truth lived out every day. The women who come through our doors are not strangers to pain. They carry with them the weight of severe trauma, like complex trauma, from incarceration, human trafficking, addiction, and the many layers of abuse, neglect, and exploitation that often began in their childhood. They've been told that they are broken beyond repair. Many have lived in survival mode for so long. They have forgotten what it has meant to hope. But underneath all the pain, there is a cry, a deep desire to be free, to overcome, to live again. But that is where the miracle begins. When they come to Harvest Home, they are introduced not just to a program, but to a person, Jesus Christ. They meet Jesus, the one who forgives much, restores much, and transforms completely. At Harvest Home, they receive tools, structure, teaching, most of all, the truth and faith and love. They are given a space to heal, to be equipped, to rebuild. And as soon as they begin to recognize how much Jesus has delivered them from, something powerful happens. They fall in love with him. And like the woman in Luke 7 who wept at Jesus' feet, their love is real, it's resilient, and it's radical. Many women just like them are lost. Some have died from overdose. Some are still trapped in the cycle. But through the transformative power of God, Harvest Home is breaking that cycle. We are seeing miracles, not just of survival, but of restoration. Women once discarded are now leaders. They're mothers, they're students, and they're ministers. The potential is being unlocked, and their past no longer defines them. Church, I want you to know, Harvest Home is not just helping women recover. We are helping them discover who they are in Christ. And those who are forgiven much, love much. If your heart was stirred today in any way, I want to invite you, we'll be in the back at the table. You can come talk to us. You can speak to us. If I'm talking to somebody, you can grab cards. You can grab brochures. But I want you to be aware of two events. One is October 10th. We'd love for you to join us for our next Harvest Home graduation. And December 5th, And also December 5th, we are going to have our first benefit concert. And we need your help, your support for that too. So if you would, we'd love to have your support. Thank you so much for this time today.
Run away, sister. We're going to let you use the stairs.
Okay. Thank you.
See how kind we are? Why don't you have a seat right here? All right. And I would like your team, the women that you love so much, that you serve so much, they're going to come up here and they're going to gather around you. Then I'm going to ask the ladies of the church, who have a heart for what you just heard, to come on up and join this group. Do you have the microphone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very clear to me that we need more men in the church. You can get up close. We're going to pray a prayer of blessing. Then we're going to have you go back to your seats. The ushers are going to come by with buckets for us to be able to give to this ministry, which we're now connected with. They're part of us. We thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to ask Sally to pray, and then Pat. Where's Pat Fisher? Come on over here, Pat. You're going to bring both guns when you pray. I don't want you going light. I want you to bring it. All right. But Sally, why don't you go first, and then we'll have Pat pray.
Thank you, Father God, for what you're doing. In our hearts, that you opened our eyes and our ears to love these precious women.
and the work that they're doing for your kingdom, for the lost souls, so you can do the mighty work in their lives. And right now, I just pray over Sarah, the leader, that you give her wisdom beyond wisdom, full of your Holy Spirit to discern of what's good and what's right and what is true. By your word, may the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of your word continue to grow in her heart. And just like the roots of something that's planted, it goes down deep. It goes down deep in the seeds that are produced. Just reminds me of children being birthed. And it goes on, the legacy goes on. Nothing can come against it because you are on it. You are her foundation. Give her a new vision. Increase her faith. Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do in her life and the lives of all these precious, strong, courageous women. We pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus, who sits on the throne. Yes, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, oh God. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, yes, your kindness, yes, toward us, oh God. Lord, we just thank you for Sarah, who has a heart for the women that's being served through the Harvest House. And, oh God, each one is like the woman at the well. Come searching, searching. Oh God, we thank you for drawing them to you, for loving on them, for converting their hearts, changing hearts, changing lives, changing their minds. Oh God, we just ask that you pour into these women each and every day. Each and every day, pour into them, oh God, your love. Protect them, oh God, from hurt, harm, and danger, seen and unseen, that's all around them. Show them how much you love them. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for each one. Bless them. Create in them a clean heart, a new heart.
Yes.
Fill them each day, oh God, with your Holy Spirit. Guide them. Keep them. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, this is what's going to happen. The girls will be at the back. This is a woman's ministry. I just want to be upfront with that. So this is for women to go check out. There is need for women. If you're an older woman, they want you to be engaged in this ministry. So if you have thoughts or ideas or visions for how you can help, you go talk to them. There is a place for men in this ministry. You will talk to Sarah. If you have something that God's given you, you can talk to Sarah, and she'll field your questions, how you can be a part of this. At this time, we're going to take an offering. If you're going to give to this ministry, you're going to make a check out to Living Hope Church. We'll count it up, and we'll see that they leave here with a check with the right amount of money. Justin, are you mic'd up?
Yes, sir.
Tell them how else they can give.
Absolutely. If you don't have any checks, we are also going to be passing around an offering basket where you can give us some cash. There's also, if you have our amazing Living Hope Church app, there's a section in there in the giving section. Just select Frontline Ministries, Frontline Harvest Ministries, and you can give there. Also, if you go home, you need to think about it. You get home and you're like, you know what? I want to give to this ministry. You can go on CCB and give there later today as well.
Okay, so I'm going to just pray over the offering. And then we'll close it off. We'll give you an opportunity to speak to the ladies in the back. Father God, we just thank you for how you moved in this service today. I know that you've blessed many of us just with what we've heard. You've challenged many of us with what we've heard. Let us not be afraid to step in to the difficult places to build up those who have been called to get out into the middle of the things that are happening in this world today. Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to partner with them. You have blessed us in such a fashion that we partner with this ministry. We partner with Vita. We partner with Celebrate Recovery. We partner with ministries that reach the lives of people. We thank you for it. I ask everyone that you would bless everyone who gives to this ministry, many fold over, and stir in their hearts more and more to go to these places to help the people that need to be helped, and to especially help those who know how to help those that need to be helped. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So the ushers are going to go by with the plates. You can put in the plates. You can come up here, put them in the bowls, or you can do it electronically. That's pretty good that I was able to say all that. So Father God, thank you for this time together. And we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.